This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I think you'll find this podcast of particular interest because there have been some really exciting developments on the respiratory health front with our good friends at Clear. That's spelled X-L-E-A-R. The X stands for xylitol. And our guest today is our good friend and frequent contributor, Nathan Jones. Nate is the CEO and originator of Clear Inc. And, you know, it's been almost two decades now, since 2000, since you founded Clear Inc., which is a xylitol product-based company, which takes a revolutionary all-natural approach to upper respiratory and oral health and has improved the quality of life for people around the globe. But back then, we did not envision what has become the elephant in the room, which is our current pandemic, certainly an example of respiratory health being threatened and compromised. And so this puts a whole new spin on respiratory health. It's not just a matter of ordinary colds and flus. It's ultra critical that we safeguard our respiratory health. And Nathan joins us today to discuss some exciting new research studies supporting the use of Clear nasal spray as an option for upper respiratory health. So you've been busy, Nathan, right?
Well, you know, it's always good to be busy, isn't it?
Indeed.
As long as you're being productive.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of our listeners know your company is kind of a standby for respiratory health products. Also, with a great line of dental health products, the Spry Dental Defense line. And so just briefly outline and review for people if they don't yet know what xylitol is all about as an extraordinary ingredient for protecting our surfaces.
Well, it's actually a great ingredient because it helps block bacterial adhesion. We've known that for 21 years now, since 1998. We know that xylitol binds up and blocks the adhesion of strep pneumo, H flu, staph, MCAT. There's a number of bacteria that xylitol blocks their ability to adhere. And you know, we've known that it does it. We actually finally learned what the method of action was earlier this year with research that was being done with the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And that was pretty interesting because it kind of tied it all up and in a nice little package. But so we've been using it. You know, it's a natural sugar. If you're eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and a good healthy diet, you should have high levels of xylitol already in your system. And my father is a physician and he started using it in a nasal spray because of the bacteria. And I started the company 20 years ago and here we are today.
Indeed. So, and also there are implications for dental health, and we know how important getting rid of gingival bacteria is. There was just a fascinating study that says that there's a link between gingival bacteria, specifically P. gingivalis, the numero uno cause of periodontal disease, and metabolic syndrome, which is, wow, you know, what an incredible revelation that, you know, dentists rejoice because dental hygiene and dental health is key in terms of metabolism and preventing degenerative diseases.
There's actually a lot of really good research that's been coming out in the last couple of years with regards to that P. gingivalis and other oral bacteria and the effect of xylitol on them and the systemic effect of those bacteria and their oral hygiene. In fact, there have been studies done in the last year on COVID-19 and oral care and the health of your mouth and how it affects your ability to cope with a COVID-19 infection.
So, you know, just let me say, we have to be careful extrapolating here because, you know, bacteria aren't viruses, but there's some really tantalizing research that suggests that there may be implications here for viral infections as well. And let's jump to some of the research that supports this. There's a BMJ paper. It used to be called the British Medical Journal. They abbreviated it to BMJ, that discusses the viricidal aspect of xylitol. Can you get into that?
I can get into that, but the viricidal, xylitol does not have a viricidal impact on SARS-CoV-2.
Okay.
The paper that was published in the BMJ, that was actually done using our nasal spray. But the component in it is not the xylitol. It's actually the grapefruit seed extract.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, because that's interesting. I think a lot of people don't know what the secret sauce is in clear nasal spray. It's a combination of ingredients, right? So it does have xylitol, which is this natural sugar, a non-caloric sugar, by the way, which inhibits bacteria. But also there's some grapefruit seed, and grapefruit seed has, it's a microbiocidal thing. It kind of, in an indiscriminate way, it's antifungal, antibacterial, with potentially some antiviral effects. Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't even use the word potential. I mean, the studies show that it effectively wiped out the virus, and we actually found that out by accident. Because we were testing a completely different nasal spray. Then, you know, we wanted to break it down into components, and we actually thought it was the xylitol that was doing it. But when we broke it down into the ingredients, it was actually the grapefruit seed extract at a 0.2% that was killing the virus, that was destroying it, deactivating the SARS-CoV-2 virus as effectively as a 70% solution of alcohol does.
So, but again, as a kind of a disclaimer, we have to say loud and clear that I don't think that there are any definitive trials, you know, double-blind placebo-controlled trials where people who were, say, exposed in an intensive care unit or so, or in a nursing home or something like that, one half used clear, one half used no clear, and it conferred protection. I think that we'd have to take it to that level to actually demonstrate an in vivo response as opposed to, I mean, the test tube, okay, that's promising, but you know, we have to state that very specifically because we don't want to make claim, you know, we don't want to get over our skis in terms of claims, but this is very promising. So what has additional research suggested around this? Any other corroborating evidence that, you know, we may have something that's a general protectant against respiratory infections?
Well, there's a bunch of papers that have been published in different magazines, like the Journal of the American Medical Association. They have published a couple of articles on just using a saline spray. And even
just
in
to lubricate,
in a saline spray,
right?
Well, what they're saying, and it makes sense, logically it just makes sense, is that if you can irrigate and use a nasal spray or a nasal irrigation, even with just saline, it's going to confer a benefit because mm-hmm. what you're doing is you're physically knocking down the viral load.
Mm-hmm. And so you're clearing. To use a play on words, you're clearing. There's a clearance of pathogens because mucus is one of the ways that we clear pathogens. We simply sort of have a rinsing barrier against harmful agents that constantly assail us, you know, whether it's pollen or whether it's chemicals in the air or whether it's bugs, right? So we're flushing
Correct.
That away.
Correct. Correct. And that is exactly what they said is, you know, and I guess we should probably clarify this, that even going back into February, we have known, and not we at Clear, this was in the New England Journal of Medicine, we have known that 90% of the viral load of the SARS-CoV-2 virus is in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of attack.
Yeah.
And there is some promising suggestions, and they've actually, I think in one study, they used some sort of iodine rinse, you know, with povidine,
and they found that, you know, may have been effective. And, you know, when we look at, consider the immune system, the immune system it has several levels. And, you know, at one level, you know, it has to do with what the vaccine's trying to accomplish, you know, deep within inside us, some sort of cellular response where we manufacture antibodies to a potentially infected agent. And that takes, you know, literally days to form. You know, you take the vaccine and maybe a couple of weeks later you're resistant. But at the simplest level, there's what's called an innate immune system, a very primitive immune system that's not very specific. It just kind of keeps away a lot of things. And it includes the nose hairs. The very nose hairs that you have act as a filter. The mucus that you make actually contains substances that are inhibitory. So these are like barrier protections against infection. And, you know, I think that's what we're talking about here is, you know, let's start in the nose. I mean, it's not.
That 100% is what we're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's what we're working on is making and helping that cleansing mechanism be more efficient and assisting it in doing its job in trapping more bacteria, more viruses, destroying them, and helping your body wash them out. And that's exactly what the product does. It's what it's designed to do.
So, you know, you've been very aggressive and I think public-spirited in trying to advance this information and put it into the public arena and make it available as a resource to the public, because, you know, we're doing all we can to protect ourselves, you know, socially distancing, we're masking, and et cetera, et cetera. You have taken an unprecedented step, which is to file for something called an EUA, an emergency use authorization. Now, if that resonates for people a little bit, that expression is being used for the current vaccines. Pfizer got an EUA for their vaccine about a week ago or so. They rushed it into production, Operation Warp Speed. And I think Moderna's vaccine.
Come on.
Pardon me?
You got to use my name for that. You got to use my name for that.
How so?
It's Operation Warp Spend. Operation Warp Spend.
Okay. So after expenditure of billions of dollars, some of which comes from
hundreds
of billions.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's where we talk a few hundred billion, you know, we're talking real money here, you know. When, you know, these EUAs have been issued, they're issued for vaccines. And I think Moderna just about got its, you know, as of today, I think the new.
They should have theirs today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So that's a really big deal. That means that, you know, full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes, you know, we're going to use this. It's authorized. It's mainstream. You're trying to get the use of these nasal protective agents as kind of a mainstream strategy for prevention of specifically this pandemic. So how's that working out for you?
Well, originally we did a bunch of this research, and I mean, just to give you some background, so we started, I'm trying to think of how to say it quickly, but we first were at the FDA's offices in February on a completely different product discussing pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, and at the end of the meeting, it was for an allergy thing. And so at the end of the meeting, we said, you know, you should look at this for this Wuhan flu, because that's whatever you call it then. That's coming around the globe. And they said, it's not going to be that big of a deal here in the U.S. If you want to withdraw your submission in the allergy and resubmit it over there in the, you know, antiviral group, you can do that. But we don't think this is going to be a big issue because we have the best healthcare system in the world.
Hmm.
And so we
lost words.
And then
right.
we had, Well, and then we walked away from that and said, well, you know, the FDA, they're smart. They know what they're doing. And so we didn't do that. And when everything, you know, when crazy came to town in March, we reached out and we started going and sending our stuff up to see what it would do to the virus. And it was the end of March that we actually got back our first report, which was a nasal. We were looking at a nasal spray with chlorpheniramine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we actually had the first report back from that, and we sent that into the FDA, and they just said, we don't think there's any merit to this. You have a nasal spray that'll, you know, kill the virus. So what? And so then we went back and we took the chlorpheniramine out, and we tried one with chlorhex. I mean, we were throwing the kitchen sink at it. I mean, the tests to do this aren't expensive. We threw the kitchen sink and had all these different versions of a nasal spray. And what came back is all of them that had our basic clear product in it destroyed the virus.
So the common denominator was not the other elements of the secret sauce. It was the xylitol. Yeah.
Well, it was the clear nasal spray, the base spray,
which has the grapefruit seed extract as a
exact
component. Okay.
And that, and so when we got the back that list, we looked at it and we said, dang. It's got to be.
Remember, this is a family show. This is a family show, Nate.
I know. But the grapefruit seed extract is only at a 0.2% in our nasal spray, and the nasal spray was killing it. And the xylitol is at 11%. So we were thinking it's the xylitol, but then when we broke it apart, we found out it was a grapefruit seed extract. But we submitted all this stuff to the FDA, and in July, first week of July, right before the holiday, we submitted to do a research study. And in the middle of August, the FDA came back and said, no, we don't allow drug studies to be done on cosmetics. So before, because our nasal spray is considered a cosmetic.
It's, right. It's an over-the-counter.
Yeah. It's like soap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
And so then they said, no, you can't do that. But after the meeting, one of the employees at the FDA called us afterwards and said, you realize that you've been on the market for 20 years and you're not a drug. You can go around the FDA and just find a hospital that has an IRB or a research hospital and just get an IRB, an independent review board to sign off on your study, and you can go ahead and do it. You don't need us.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. But at the research hospital, you have all the drug companies that are out there recruiting patients also.
Yeah.
So we started recruiting patients,
it's hard to find virgin territory because everybody is participating in a clinical trial, right? There's nobody left.
And the thing is that the big pharma companies are paying them to do it because our tax dollars are being thrown at them.
Yeah.
And so they're coming in and saying, and, you know, if someone comes in the hospital and they just have, you know, they've just tested positive for COVID, and you're saying, and someone says, hey, we have this study right here with Pfizer.
Yeah.
Or this one right here with Clear, that, you know, it's a natural nasal spray. Everybody
who are you going to choose? Yeah, exactly.
And
you're
so,
up against the big
boys. So we were having a hard time recruiting patients. But the patients that we did recruit, we were also a little more stringent in our recruiting process. They had to have an underlying condition, like diabetes, COPD, something like that.
The most vulnerable people.
Or they had to be overweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they had to test positive, they had to have symptoms, and they had to have an underlying comorbidity.
Right.
Okay. But all of them with that had all those that met the criteria, within 3 days they were asymptomatic, and by the seventh day they had tested negative twice.
Mm-hmm. Which, we can't say this is the proof positive, but it's quite remarkable. Because this is a highly vulnerable group. Statistically, they're the very self-same group where 10, 20% or more would end up in the ICU, perhaps on a ventilator. I think is quite hypothesis-forming and thought-provoking. Yeah.
And to add to that, okay, remember I mentioned we were at the FDA's office in February. So this was an allergy medication that we were looking at doing. And so we had actually already shipped a bunch of product to other countries in Latin America that were going to so we could do a multi-center study on these allergy things. And, you know, when crazy came to town, when this pandemic hit, obviously that just got kind of put on hold. But these other hospitals started seeing COVID patients, and they started using our study protocol for the patients there in Venezuela and Panama and in the Dominican Republic.
Well, they're going to use guerrilla tactics in those countries because they have less access to very expensive high-tech breakthrough medications. You know, they're not going to get...
Well, no, this is better. Let me tell you what they did.
Yeah.
Because they did do it double-blind placebo, but within a week, the hospital came in and said, their ethics board came in and said, you have to stop doing this because the difference is so apparent.
Right.
The people using Clear,
right.
You cannot use the placebo anymore.
Right. And just for a listening audience, this happens sometimes in the middle of studies. Sometimes something either just doesn't pan out, there are too many side effects, so they stop the study. Okay, that's on the negative side. But on the positive side, sometimes during a study, there's such a clear-cut benefit that they say this, it's unethical to deny patients the benefits of whatever it is that's being studied. So they really accelerated the adoption of these therapies in these other venues, right, out of the United States.
Correct. And that's exactly what happened. And they've requested more product, which, you know, we're having a hard time get to them because COVID has disrupted shipping and also sanctions and everything else that's going on with Venezuela has led to problems also.
Yeah, right. I mean,
but all of that is really good. All of that is really good information. And when we submitted for that emergency use authorization, all of that stuff we submitted with it.
Wow.
And we're hoping that, you know, in our opinion, that the FDA does the right thing and says, you know what? The guidelines say that if it may be of help, then they authorize the emergency use authorization. Our worst case scenario is they come back and say, well, it's not a drug, and so you can't do anything.
Hmm. So in other words, it's kind of a catch 22 because it's like, if it's not a drug, it can't be any good, right? And
if it's like a snake on a pole,
yeah,
and all you have to do is look at it, then it obviously can't do anything.
Okay, that's an expression I've never heard. All right, we're going to pause because we divide.
Well, wait, you know where that comes from, don't you?
No, where?
That comes from Moses.
Oh. Okay, I don't know my Testament, I guess.
Well, the little medical symbol of the snake on the pole.
Yeah.
When Moses was leading the children out of Egypt, he put
the caduceus.
They were all having
boiled. That's called the caduceus.
Yes.
That's right. It's also in ancient Greeks and Rome. Yeah, got it. A snake and a pole.
But that's where it comes from.
There you go. So
put
now
a snake on a pole, and all they had to do is come out of their tent and look at the snake on a pole, and they would have been healed of all of their boils and their illnesses. And, you know, a large percentage of the population said, there's no way that's true. It's too easy. We're not going to do it. And they died.
I'm going to borrow that factoid for some future articles. Good stuff. All right. When we return, more on the subject of xylitol and saline nasal spray. There's some exciting developments. Today's guest is Nate Jones. Nathan Jones, CEO and founder of Clear Inc., X-L-E-A-R. For more information, you can go to their website, which logically enough is Clear, X-L-E-A-R, .com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.